I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Israeli forces are ramping up their attacks in Gaza. The IDF launched airstrikes at two refugee camps in central Gaza over the weekend, killing dozens of people. It comes amid growing international calls for a ceasefire. Now, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is outlining three conditions that he says are absolutely necessary in order to achieve peace. In a Wall Street Journal op-ed, Netanyahu wrote in part this: Hamas must be destroyed, Gaza must be demilitarized, and Palestinian society must be de-radicalized. Hamas's leaders have vowed to repeat the October 7th massacre again and again. That is why their destruction is the only proportional response to prevent the repeat of such horrific atrocities. Anything less guarantees more war and more bloodshed.
And who could possibly disagree with the stance of the Israeli prime minister? We must destroy Hamas. They cannot be allowed to reactivate. And included inside that, in additional statements, Netanyahu says, we don't want to occupy Israel, but we will be there as a guarding force to protect Israel going forward. I mean, we don't want to occupy Gaza, but we will be there to protect Israel going forward. That was a report from MSNBC about some of the latest activity over the weekend. As, once again, we've had rockets fired upon U.S. positions, and this time we've had at least three soldiers injured, maybe one critically. Just last week, Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton says, we keep allowing this to happen, and an American is going to end up dead. Well, thank God at last report, he's not dead. He, she is not dead. But they are severely injured. And now the administration is thinking, okay, maybe we need to start firing back. Are they doing so because the polls are so bad that, you know, maybe I need to do something to look more like a commander-in-chief? Quite honestly, I'll be honest, very honest with you. I don't care what the reason is, but yes, start hitting them back. And we'll sort through the rest of it later. Very much like there are a lot of questions that Netanyahu and the Israeli leaders are going to have to answer once all this is put aside. How the hell did Hamas ever get that deep inside our border and carry out those attacks without us being willing to wipe them out before they came through? There was a piece of intel that surfaced apparently some weeks before this attack was carried out on October 7. And in that intel were pretty much details of what did happen. One of the Mossad members, apparently looking at it, said she, I don't know if she said she did it, but the words reported that she gave it to her superiors. They looked at it, passed it around, and basically all of them kind of just had a laugh. It's a figment of their imagination. They'll never be able to pull this off. So, yes, some need to answer that. Welcome to the second hour, Larry Connors USA. Here we are on December 26, 2023. And I remind you, we are on the air with you here, 6 to 8, Monday through Friday. And while on the air, we're also streaming video, so you can watch the program. If you're in position to watch it live, it's right now on News Talk STL Facebook or Twitter, and our Larry Connors USA Facebook or Twitter, and on Rumble channels. If you can't do it now, you can always go back later and pull up video and or audio to listen, watch at your pleasure, and share with others. You simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. Larry Connors USA.com, and I thank you for watching, listening, and sharing with others. So there was the report from MSNBC on how we're seeing some response at this time as the Israeli forces are ramping up And this is after Hezbollah has fired additional rockets into northern Israel, and Israel's firing back. Here's Trey Yangst reporting for Fox News on other details and Iran's reaction.
Overnight, President Biden ordered the U.S. military to strike a series of targets belonging to Iran-backed Iraqi Shia militias. According to U.S. Central Command, three strikes destroyed the targeted facilities and likely killed a number of Qataif Hezbollah militants. The attacks came in response to a drone strike against the Erbil Air Base that houses U.S. service members. Three Americans were injured in that attack, one critically. This does bring the total number of attacks against American interests in the Middle East to 103 since mid-October. This does come after Israeli forces remain on high alert following an airstrike yesterday in Syria that killed IRGC commander Saeed Razi Mousavi. In response to that strike, Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi said, quote, "The act is a sign of the Zionist regime frustration and weakness in the region, for which it will certainly pay the price." Now, the possibility of a broader conflict with Iran does come as a top advisor to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Ron Dermer, is in the United States today. He will reportedly meet with the Biden administration to discuss the next steps for the war inside Gaza.
Yeah, we've got to be aware of what's going to happen next in Gaza, but we also have to be aware of our forces in neighboring countries and are on ships at sea, the Mediterranean Sea or in the Red Sea or the Gulf of Aden and the Indian Ocean. The issue, of course, has been, how many times have we been ringing this bell, ringing it over and over again? Do something before an American gets killed. Now, preemptive strikes are the kind of thing that often escalate rapidly if a nation feels it's been attacked unnecessarily. Iran knows damn well why we would be firing at them, because we all know they are tied to the terrorist proxies around the world that they use. So there's no surprise there. And there should be no surprise by Iran once we do respond, except maybe they, what? Somebody got hold of Joe. They got him locked in a closet. I mean, Joe wants to give us a nuclear bomb. Joe wants to continue to let us sell our oil to China, which they are. The latest report showing, through this year, for the first 10 months of this year, every day since Joe Biden lifted the oil sanctions on Iran, it's been exporting oil direct from Iran to China, 1 million barrels a day, every day, for the last 10-plus months. So they might be thinking, oh, Joe must not be in charge now. And, of course, in this country, we ask, was he ever in charge? But the bottom line is the U.S. is showing some strength in action. But, and yes, there's always a but in many conversations. And here's the but this time around. Hudson Institute Senior Fellow Rebecca Heinrichs, and the Hudson Fellow, Hudson Institute looks over these kinds of things and tries to put things in position, kind of a think tank as to how you should be doing and how and when you should react. And her answer is, too late, Joe, too late.
The counterattack on the part of the United States was appropriate. The problem is, it's still too late. And I mean, this has been, these attacks against U.S. forces in the region have been ongoing, of course, since Hezbollah's attack massacre against Israel on October 7th, far more than 100 attacks. And these are not just singular rocket attacks when we talk about 100 attacks. These are multiple attacks each time. And so I applaud the White House for understanding that this needed a much bigger response than what we've seen in the past. But I think it's still just not enough. There needs to be more to compel the Iran regime to understand that this is not going to be worth it for them, that the United States is going to defend our troops, and we're not just going to play defense, we are going to go on the offense. We know where all of these paramilitary groups are that are supported by the IRGC, that's the Iranians. We know where they are throughout the region. I would advise to do a massive attack all at once rather than these pinprick strikes waiting every 5, 6, 10 attacks before the United States responds. We're going to get, there's going to be Americans who are going to be killed. Right now there's 3 injured, 1 critically injured, we're hearing. There's going to be more. And so that's what I would do. I would advise a significant, massive strike against where IRGC trainers are. We know where this Hezbollah paramilitary group in Iraq that conducted this last attack, we've known where they are. We know where they are. And so they should have been eliminated long ago and should not be allowed to persist.
Absolutely. And I want to remind you, these training camps that she's talking about, they're not in the midst of Iranian cities. They're not in tunnels under Iranian cities or under Iranian schools and hospitals, as we see Hamas has done in the Gaza Strip. They're way out somewhere in the desert, somewhere far away from civilization. So you'd be hitting and targeting only those in that camp. And, of course, you heard the response from, as reported by Trey Yinks, one of the leaders of Iran is very upset that one of their second-in-command has been assassinated. They're suggesting Israel carry that out. No response from Israel. But he was with Soleimani, who was killed when he arrived in Beirut, thinking he was safe in Beirut, and Trump ordered, hit him. And we did. So this guy who was with him just happened to not be right with him when the bomb hit. But now they got him. And again, the thought is Israel actually carried it out, because anything they can to decimate the top leadership means you're going to have poor leadership under them, or at least disorganized leadership, and maybe a break in morale. But Iran is also reacting with its own threats. This report from Fox News.
Tensions growing in the Mideast, Houthi militants targeting more cargo ships as Iranian commander is now reportedly threatening to shut down the Mediterranean Sea. As we reported earlier, he's talking about the Red Sea. Now, it comes as a chemical tanker off the coast of India was targeted by a one-way attack drone fired from Iran just yesterday. Our next guest knows all about the threats we face from Iran. Reza Pahlavi is the exiled crown prince, and he joins us now. Reza, great to have you on the program.
This regime has pretty much mastered proxy wars, and particularly emboldened and encouraged when appeasement becomes an element that gives them more reason to push the envelope. We shouldn't be therefore surprised to see that these are the kind of acts that the regime will take advantage of to try to get as much credit as possible without at the same time assuming the responsibility and bear the consequences of it.
Now, again, this is the crown prince, Reza Pahlavi of Iran. And listening to him, he thinks, well, if he were in charge, this would not be at this point. That might well be, but we also know sometimes it's the enemy you know versus the enemy you don't. And he would have been part of the leadership in Iran at this point. But the dynasty got overthrown back in the late 50s, then actually in the 70s again, when they had a monastery. And so he is once again, monarchy, I should say. And so once again, he's trying to get back in control. It might be better for us if he were. But the key point that was raised there about what they're going to do about the Mediterranean, Iran has no naval ship and no presence in the opening of the Mediterranean at Gibraltar. But Iran is already stating that you could soon see the closure of the Mediterranean Sea, the Strait of Gibraltar, and other waterways. Now, even though they don't have a navy or anything, they could certainly put terrorist groups with rockets nearby, and any vessels going in and out around Spain, they could target them. So again, as I did in the first hour, if you or your loved ones are considering a cruise in the Mediterranean. Last year, my daughter went on one, or earlier this year with my grandson. I'm glad they were doing it then. They had a great time. You could see the Rome, Colosseums, everything else, although they flew into Rome and they never went through the strait itself. But for any that's looking to go into Spain and go around the Rock of Gibraltar, you might need to reconsider. But I'll leave that up to you. The crown prince, again, is saying what he thinks should and could happen.
We should not just look at the surface and appearance of what this regime does. We have to understand that a lot of it is out of weakness and despair at home. Why? Because they have lost the Iranian nation completely. At the same time that they're conducting a war of aggression abroad, they're also using tremendous repression at home. And one has to understand that it is the nature of this regime that demands it to behave the way it does. In order to maintain itself in power, it has to continue maintaining repression at home, but at the same time conduct a kind of aggression to, first of all, deflect attention from itself. And this is why they use proxy wars to achieve that exactly, whether it is Hamas or Hezbollah or any other proxies that they support, including the Houthis.
And I would have to disagree with the Crown Prince when he says they have lost the UN. The Islamic Republic of Iran is still an active member of the UN. Coming up, that Chinese balloon that flew across our nation back in January, there are reports that the Biden administration was hoping, oh, you won't notice it. In fact, they were trying to hide it.
There are certainly things that happen that, for a moment, intelligence agencies and American intelligence agencies rightfully ought not to share with the American people as you're trying to make sure you keep them safe. This certainly couldn't become one of them when we had live pictures of it. Moreover, my sense here is that the reason that they didn't want to disclose this wasn't for intelligence collection. You'll recall their first story is this wasn't even spying on the United States. This was just a lost weather balloon. And then the story was that this happened in the Trump administration. The story keeps varying. My guess is that in the end, they made the decision not to share with the American people out of sheer embarrassment that they had permitted this very dangerous activity to take place over the American homeland. That's never a reason not to share information with the American people. I don't know if this story is true, but we remember they allowed a Chinese spy balloon to fly over our country for 5 days and did nothing. And frankly, now we are months and months and months later, they've still done nothing about this. They've never even brought this up to Xi Jinping, saying this is unacceptable to violate American sovereignty in that way.
Never brought it up. That's former Secretary of State Pompeo. It happened back in January. They didn't bring it up at the talks recently. Now, the NORAD commander, General Van Herrick, says, we did get our eyes open a little bit when the balloon came over. And then we were concerned, well, what does happen if we shoot it down?
We didn't know how effective we'd be if we were going to shoot it down. And more importantly, what we didn't know is what the debris field would actually look like. And initially, when we were working with NASA, it was about a 60 nautical mile by 60 nautical mile debris field where we thought the debris would fall out. And we're talking several thousand pounds, school bus size objects potentially falling to the ground. We were able to work that down to 20 miles by 20 miles, and eventually by the time it approached the East Coast, about 6 nautical miles by 6 nautical miles. There's a reason we shot that thing down exactly 6 miles off the coast, and that was to minimize collateral damage and keep our citizens safe. And it was also to make sure that it fell within our sovereign territory and waters so that we could collect the debris and analyze that debris.
But, and he did not discuss it, was not raised as a question, when it entered our sovereign territory off the coast of Alaska, why didn't we not shoot it down then? Oh, that's a good question. No answer. No comment whatsoever. Wasn't even raised. No, I think they were just hoping it would just, public wouldn't see it. Just wouldn't know. It's big deal. They think we're so stupid. Coming up next, Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz on Colorado's attempt to keep Trump off the ballot. Could they possibly win? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444. 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I have a great whiskey suggestion. Stolach Whiskey, created using natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Next time, get a bottle. But if you're going to share with friends, you better get at least two bottles. Stolach has the Larry Connors seal of approval. See the full story at Stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is an attempt to totally manipulate an amendment that was never designed to disqualify people in future elections. It was a Civil War amendment. It's right. An attempt to manipulate this amendment just to get Trump. Title of my book, Get Trump. This is just another example of that. If you look at the Constitution, it is as clear as could be that the 14th Amendment can be implemented only by Congress, not by state legislatures. The Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article, and it's logical. Remember who wrote the 14th Amendment? Radical Republican Reconstructionists. You think they would give the power to decide who's going to run for president to Mississippi and Alabama? Of course not. It's the most absurd argument historically and constitutionally. And the text of the amendment doesn't even apply to the president of the United States. It applies to senators, representatives, and electors. So this is a stretch beyond all stretching.
And, of course, in this case, the Colorado Supreme Court didn't mind doing a little extra stretching. But I remind you, out of the seven judges on the Colorado Supreme Court, all appointed by Democrats, three of them said, no, you can't apply this to keep Trump off the ballot. And there you have Alan Dershowitz echoing the same thing, saying it just does not, absolutely does not serve any justice, and it certainly does not conform to law. Again, they're talking about and building their entire case in Colorado on the 14th Amendment, in the sense that it reads, no person shall be a senator or representative to Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the U.S. under or under any state who have previously taken an oath on as a member of Congress, as an or as an officer of the U.S., or as a member of any state The word president is not mentioned there except elector of president. Of course, they're looking at it, well, it was an office. That's what they're trying to say out of the 14th Amendment, Section 3. But Alan Dershowitz said there's nothing there for them to hang anything on. And yet, he admits, yeah, the court is probably going to take it and will have to act quickly.
This one they have to take because he's going to be taken off the ballot in early January. So my prediction is they'll give a stay. There's already a stay in the state court, but it's only until early January. They'll give a stay that takes us probably through the primary. But even if they don't, what's going to happen is the Republican Party will just eliminate the primary and have a caucus and nominate. Then we'll have to see what the courts do about that.
There have been threats from Republican governors around taking Biden off. Now, obviously, on what grounds is an open question, but the sort of politicization of this process you mentioned, how big a risk is that we'll get into this tit-for-tat battle state by state?
It's a 100% risk. It's not a risk. It's a certainty. Of course that's going to happen. Texas will try to take Biden off the ballot saying he lent support to an insurrection by opening the borders. An absurd argument, but, you know, not much more absurd than the argument that the four justices of the Supreme Court made. Look, this amendment was designed to prevent former Confederate people running for the Senate and the House because they wanted to undo Reconstruction. This was for one train and one day only. It was a post-Civil War amendment. It was not designed to circumvent the impeachment provision.
Was not designed to circumvent the impeachment. That is an entirely different issue. I love the way he phrases it. One train, one time. And the other day we had Hans von Spakovsky, constitutional expert with Heritage Foundation, also point out in years later, still in the 1800s, two different laws were passed that basically gutted the entire Article 3 of the 14th Amendment. So it really is a hollow shell right now. But it's still there on the books and in the Constitution, so they're rushing forward with it. And Dershowitz is right, obviously. We've already seen Texas and Arizona, and I'm drawing a blank on the other state that said, you know what? We could play that game too. We would just keep Biden off the ballot. Every time you do that, even if you take Biden off, I'm not a Biden supporter, as you probably know, but that would be wrong because you're disenfranchising those who would want to vote for him. You cannot do that. Well, you can if you want to run a dictatorship. And I thought we were told that if Trump came in, he was going to be a dictator. It looks to me like everybody on the left thinks, well, we can be a dictator, but not you. We touch base first, not you. Now, reference this effort of Amendment 14, Section 3, versus the actual impeachment article. Alan Dershowitz.
The impeachment provision provides all kinds of safeguards for a president. Chief Justice must preside. There has to be a real trial. Two-thirds of the vote in the Senate. Do you think the framers of this amendment actually had in mind, let's abolish that carefully constructed impeachment provision and just put in a provision that says that anybody thinks the president did something that they believe is an insurrection, and if they can get a Secretary of State somewhere to agree with that, millions of voters become disenfranchised. That's not what the framers of the 14th Amendment believed.
No, it was not. But I will also add this, and this should not be allowed either. The Denver Police Department is reporting they're investigating reports of threats or harassment against those four Colorado Supreme Court justices, certainly them and maybe the others as well, because folks don't really read. They just see the Supreme Court said we're going to keep Trump off. The police department saying it's providing extra patrols around the homes of those Supreme Court justices in Denver and will provide additional safety support if as requested. All of this coming as the justices are facing threats because of the ruling to keep Trump off the ballot, claiming he's ineligible because he participated in an insurrection. Let's stop it right there. Several things to point out. There was no insurrection on January 6th. You don't have an insurrection by yelling, chanting, even hitting Capitol Police in the face. It's wrong, but it's not an insurrection. And there was only one gun that's been reported as confiscated from one of the protesters, and it was in their pocket. They never took it out to wave it around. As I said earlier, if there's an insurrection, the way it happens is I put a gun in your face and say, I'm in charge, not you. That's an insurrection. A crime in all fashions. But by a 4-3 decision, citing the insurrection clause of the 14th Amendment, the court ruled that Trump did engage. Now keep in mind, the court's making this ruling. He has not been charged with insurrection at no point, no place, no how, in any of the charges they've been leveled against Trump. Doesn't exist. And if they could prove insurrection, if they could charge him, they would have. And they would be yelling it from the top of every building. They'd be putting banners up. They would hell out. They'd have planes flying banners across the sky on a constant basis. Trump indicted, charged with insurrection. And then you would have a legitimate call for an impeachment. Well, why haven't they, Larry? I'm glad you asked that. Because he's not guilty of anything along that line. In fact, he's not guilty of any of the other charges. They love pointing out, you're going to elect a president, a man that has all of these charges pending against him? Well, my counter is, are you going to elect this guy over here with all these allegations that might as well be charges, they're just not formal, of his connections and ties to a son that he claims I never had anything to do with his business? And then later, they changed it to where he's never financially involved. In other words, he never contributed, never had skin in the game. And to that extent, Dershowitz points out, you look at what Jack Smith is trying to do, and he's in the District of Columbia going after Trump on some of these charges. Perfect, perfect venue for Jack Smith.
It would be easy for Jack Smith just to get him indicted for
right
in the District of Columbia, have a speedy trial. And in the District of Columbia, they would convict a ham sandwich if his name was Trump. Mm-hmm. So that's not much of a safeguard requiring a conviction. Remember that Eugene V. Debs ran for president and got 3 million votes while he was serving a prison term for something like insurrection. I mean,
right,
he wanted to advocate the overthrow of the government by force or violence. And in America, we don't take the decision away from the people by having the judges make electoral decisions. Let the people decide. They're not going to vote for a person they believe to be an insurrectionist.
They're not going to. Now, you heard Alan Dershowitz mention Eugene V. Debs. That would be Eugene Vector Debs. This might be ahead of your time. It is ahead of mine. One of the items that are ahead of mine. He lived from 1855 to 1926, an American socialist, political activist, trade union, presidential candidacy, as well as working with labor unions, became one of the best-known socialists living in the U.S. during that time. He was a member of the Democrat Party, by the way, elected as a Democrat, and he started a boycott against Pullman Palace Car Company, or rather with them, to which later led to the nationwide Pullman strike. Grover Cleveland accused, or rather ended up using the U.S. Army to break the strike, and Debs was convicted of federal charges for defying a court action against the strike and 6 months in jail. Pretty much insurrectionist, right? But he was still running for president. Now, this is just more fun and games. The reindeer games at this time of year. Coming up, the economy working for you?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is News Talk STL.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally, McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is so luxurious you might think you have to be a member. You don't, but you will quickly see why Lit won the 2023 Riverfront Times Best Smoking Lounge, Best Smoke Shop for the second time in a row. Quality cigars, premium drinks. So join me at Lit, just off 40 in the district at Chesterfield. For special events, entertainment, always check the website, litstl.com, litstl.com.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
One other point on Alan Dershowitz and as to how Donald Trump has not been charged with insurrection, and that, yeah, Jack Smith could get an insurrection indictment against him probably in D.C., to use Alan Dershowitz's words and echoing what we've heard throughout the decades. A grand jury can indict a ham sandwich if you say it should be indicted. CNN anchor Jim Acosta. Remember him? When Trump was in office, he was right in the middle of the melees in every news conference, challenging Trump, shouting at him, vilifying him. Well, when Biden got elected, CNN had to make a change. We cannot have Jim Acosta be the White House correspondent, because if he doesn't go after Biden like he did after Trump, that won't look fair. As if we think that changed the mindset at CNN. So they gave Jim a different position, kind of made him an anchor. Well, over the weekend on his Sunday show, Jim Acosta raced President Ford's pardon of his predecessor, Richard Nixon. He did it while questioning President Trump's assertion of having total immunity from prosecution for his conduct in office. Acosta asked his guest, former White House ethics head Norm Eisen, about the reasoning for a pardon if presidents could not be criminally prosecuted for actions in office. Acosta asked, if presidents have absolute immunity, I suppose why did Ford ever pardon Nixon? How is it they can just argue they have absolute immunity? And then, of course, no surprise here, but the White House ethics head, Norman Eisen, stated, and I don't really disagree with him. I don't know the full legal law, but I think I would tend to side with his statement, at least one part of it. He begins by saying Trump's argument is an astonishing proposition. Okay, I'll take it as an astonishing proposition. He said if it were accepted, the consequences would be extensive, allow presidents to commit a wide range of crimes. Quote, if presidents had absolute immunity, presidential elections would be a stampede for the criminally minded so they can get into the Oval Office. Joe Biden? Oh, I'm sorry. That slipped out. He didn't say that. It just, back of my mind, it fell out of my mouth. I apologize. He continued, it's not just election overturn. Where would it stop? They could do bank robberies, kidnappers, murders. And there are questions about how our presidents have been involved in some of those on behalf of the country. But anyway, Trump requested the District of Columbia Circuit Court to dismiss the federal election interference case against him, arguing he should have total immunity for actions he took while in office. The federal judge has already rejected it, and Trump has appealed. He faces four felony counts related to efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election, including conspiracy to defraud the U.S. and obstruction of and attempting to obstruct an official proceeding. He's not pled guilty to all the charges, but did argue he should be immune from prosecution because the acts mentioned in the indictment were taken while in office. Now, break this down for you. He's facing four felony counts. A lot of people face a felony count, but can it be charged and result in conviction? And I'm not making an excuse for Trump here. I'm looking at the facts of the law. A charge is not a conviction. The Democrats would have you believe it is. That's why every time Trump's name comes up, they want to wave this in front of you. Look, he's facing four felony charges. You want that kind of guy elected? And again, as I said earlier, then I raise my paper. Do I want a president to stay in office that has basically given money to terrorists and allowing them to build their proxy wars against us, opening our border for terrorists to walk in and maybe take money from foreign nations in exchange for something? In fact, to that extent, I can just put the money and the bribery possibilities and his ties to Hunter aside. Just by the very fact that when he took office, Biden swore to protect this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And the first thing he did was throw the door open, let everybody in. Oh, but you know what? They don't do that at the White House. I've yet to see them throw the gates to the White House open. Or the White House had said, come on in, take whatever you want, sit, lay down, sleep. You can use a Lincoln room, or you can go to the president's room. He's probably in there sleeping. You can have a nap with him. They haven't done that, have they? Not likely to either. But the special counsel, Jack Smith, wants the Supreme Court to step in and rule on Trump's immunity argument because he wants the case and the ruling now so he can have the case taken and beginning in March. Court declined to take it for right now. But again, the ethics source that Acosta was using, White House ethics head Norm Eisen, I don't really know anything about him. I don't know how accurate he is. He said, quote, there's no hint, his words, of any absolute immunity anywhere in the Constitution, history, or court precedent. He said Nixon would have refused to resign if Trump's argument was correct because he would have wanted to try to use absolute immunity to protect himself. He said Trump's argument is not about winning, but rather running out the clock on the criminal cases before the 2024 election in November. I have no doubt there's a delaying tactic on behalf of the Trump team, and they're entitled to that. And Ford did pardon Nixon after the Watergate scandal, and after Nixon resigned, he pardoned him for any crimes he might have committed while in office. I want to bring you up to speed on a couple things here. We were talking earlier about the attacks on merchant vessels in the Red Sea. And now that the U.S. has launched attacks against training camps inside Iran, they're threatening to hit any targets they can find in the Mediterranean, even at the Strait of Gibraltar, which is a long ways from Iran, and they have no such navy they could put over there, but they could put some Houthi rebels or some other group of rebels there with rockets and hit anything coming through it, be a cruise ship or whatever. India is deploying 3 guided missile destroyers to the Arabian Sea. That says after a drone last week hit an Israeli-affiliated merchant vessel off the western coast of India. These attacks on the Red Sea by the Houthi terrorists are obviously going to escalate. There was a fire on board. No injuries reported. The Navy says it's going to start flying a long-range maritime reconnaissance plane to monitor all the situation. India relies heavily on fuel shipments from the Middle East, especially Saudi Arabia and Iraq. Not Iran, Iraq. Any disruptions would be troubles for India. So India believes it's got to be involved. No group claiming responsibility, by the way, for that drone attack in this case. The U.S. is blaming Tehran, but a spokesman for the Iranian Foreign Ministry said the accusation is baseless. In the meantime, Russia is acknowledging a missile attack on one of its warships by Ukraine. It happened Christmas Day, apparently destroying that Russian warship, and Russia acknowledged it. This is a 1980s vintage landing ship. One person killed in the strike, and apparently the ship was destroyed. I don't know if that means the word destroyed would say everything's wiped out, so I don't know if they mean that or partially damaged. It did hit ammunition on board, enormous explosion. If that's true, I'm surprised that only one person was hurt. So we're getting different reports. Now Russia says the ship was just damaged. You got the sources going back and forth. I'm afraid I cannot give you a definitive answer on this. Ukraine did sink the Russian Black Fleet flagship, the Moskva, back in 2022. The Black Sea Fleet. And now, of course, they're targeting others. It's not going to come to an end anytime soon, is it? Coming up, a leftist poster child warns you, and listen carefully, Trump can win.
Well, I think it's wide open. I think Trump could win. He could win in Pennsylvania. I can see the rural areas where it's been about 68% in those counties, 50-some counties, besides Pittsburgh and Philly, in that big middle T there. I can see them growing. I can see the minority vote slopping off a bit. The women, of course, in the burbs can decide the thing on abortion rights. A real opportunity there to vote. I think the thing that Biden has to do is he's got to enlarge the youth vote and minority vote. He's got to say to people, here's why you vote, and here's why it's important you vote. With the power to vote, you have the power to protect your rights. Women can protect their rights through in Ohio, cases like that, where you actually can see they will vote a way that shows that they're in power. How do you empower yourself? You vote. So he's got to connect democracy, which is a big word, to voting rights and people's rights, their own personal rights as young people, as minorities. You can protect your rights if you vote.
Yeah, there was Chris Matthews, or born Christopher John Matthews, December 17, 1945. He did host his weeknight hour-long talk show, Hardball with Chris Matthews, on America's Talking, later NBC, MSNBC, from 97 till March 2, 2020. But here he is saying, yeah, Trump can win unless the young people get out and vote. You gotta explain to them what democracy is. They don't know what democracy is. I don't want them voting. There are a lot of voting age young people that have no clue what's happening in the world unless it shows up on their TikTok feed or something of that nature. I'm also going to say there are a lot of older people who have no idea what's going on. Unfortunately, some of them had said, oh, I'm fed up with politics. I don't care. I don't want you to talk about it. Think about it. Well, you damn well need to. You need to. That's why we're in the mess we are. Why the woke culture has gotten such a stranglehold on businesses and our schools, because you basically walked away from it. You need to get back involved. Maybe what it takes for some people, and he's talking about getting the young people to get back involved. I don't care if you're young or old. I do want you to have a right to vote, and you do have that right. I'd like you to do some intelligent work on before you vote, but that's up to you. If you want to go in there, just close your eyes and this one. If that's where you want to do it, I hope it's the right one. But everybody that is of age is entitled to vote, even if they're uninformed totally. And even if they're crazy as a loon, they're allowed to do it as long as they're not locked away in some institution. But the economy is another issue. He mentioned women and their rights and the Roe v. Wade decision. That did play a role in 2022. How big a role is it going to play in 2024? We're not sure. But the economy is for a lot of people. And in fact, home prices in October were up 4.9% compared to a year ago, which is very interesting because we're now having the highest mortgage rates of the 21st century. The 20-city index and the national index are an all-time high. Mortgage rates topped 8% in October. That's the highest since the summer of 2000. Mortgage rates at 8% or better? Think of these folks out there that have a home they love, and they got in for 2.3% mortgage. That's a lot of money saved, between 2% and 8%. It's once again apparently turning into a seller's market. Home prices up 4.9%, and apparently they're getting them in the right areas. The month before, that was in October. The month before, they were up just 0.6%. So it's beginning to escalate. Now, with that in mind, you got the Biden administration saying, see, Bidenomics is working. Not necessarily. But let's see how it plays out. And then, of course, when they look at the inflation rate, if you take out gasoline, energy cost, and food cost, well, that's pretty good. Riddle me this. How many of you can live a good life without any fuel to heat your home or cook or gasoline for your car? Oh, you got an EV? Well, do you have electricity? How much is that costing you? Final note for this hour. Former President Obama and the former First Lady being slammed on social media. The libs of TikTok said, Barack and Michelle Obama, executive producers of a new Netflix program, Ada Twist Scientist. They say it showcases young students coming together to set up and celebrate their teacher's gay wedding. It's a Blue River wedding, apparently being called, a union of two men And it's aimed at kids. That's the key here again. One says, this is propagandizing children. It needs to stop. If you want to do it, fine, but don't put it up for them to see like that. As he added, your kids are being indoctrinated. Yes, they are. Therefore, I remind you of our pledge, one nation under God.